We're going to be continuing the story that we spoke about last week, which is the burgher and the pauper. Once again, a burgher is a wealthy businessman. Anani is a poor man. We had left off last time at a point where the son of the burgher was on an island, and he had fruits to eat, he had water to drink, he would hunt sometimes, he had meat to eat, and he was pretty much resolved to remain there for the rest of his life. At this point, Rabbi Nachman switches back to the king or the emperor. This is the father of the girl to whom this son of the burgher is actually betrothed. The emperor, being under the impression that he succeeded in getting rid of the son of the burgher, and now the path was open for him to be able to marry off his daughter to whomever he would choose, started trying to make an opening for his daughter to accept suitors. And different people were presented to her, such and such a king, a different king, and her father, the emperor, made a beautiful courtyard for his daughter where she would be, where she would stay. And she took the daughters of ministers to be with her as her friends, as her attendants, and she stayed in this courtyard. And she would sing and play musical instruments, as was customary among such women, such ladies. And any time that people would present a possible suitor to her, she would respond that she's not interested in talk, but rather the person who is looking to meet her, to marry her, should come and present himself in person. She was outstanding in the knowledge of music, and she prepared a place where the potential suitor would stand there facing her, and he would speak, he would present his proposal to her in poetry or in a song. A song that would express his feelings, his emotions, his love for her, as is customary among two people who have these strong feelings for each other. Kings would come, and they would go up to this place that she had set up, and each one of them would present his song, his poem. To some of them, she wouldn't even respond directly, but rather she would send a response through her maidservants, also in the form of a love song or a poem. Those that appeared more suitable to her, more serious, she would respond herself. She would actually sing to them, and she would respond to them also with loving words. To those who seemed even more attractive to her, she would actually reveal her face to them, where they'd be able to look at her and see her, and again respond with a song, poetry, words, loving words. However, she would always conclude with the same statement: "Sorry, you haven't been through the waters." And none of them knew what she was referring to. She was in actuality referring back to the story that her mother told her about how the burgher had endangered his life on her behalf to rescue her. And now they had gone to 7 different bodies of water where they hid out. And each time his life was in jeopardy for a period of time, and he remained perfect in his respect for her, and with not touching her in any illegal type of way. And the daughter, this woman's daughter, who is now again the wife of the emperor's daughter, the daughter of the emperor, she's the one who keeps responding to each one of these suitors: "Sorry, you're obviously not the right one because you haven't gone through the waters." Now, whenever she would reveal her face, these suitors would pass out. from the shock of the extraordinary beauty, and some of them would remain just about unconscious, and some of them actually lost their minds from the extraordinary feelings of love that they felt because of the beauty that they saw, which was something completely, completely unknown to mankind. And yet, despite these experiences, despite that people were fainting from her beauty, despite that people were going mad, still, kings kept presenting themselves, and to each one she always finished with that same response: "You haven't been through the waters." Now, switching back to the son of the burgher, who's on this island, he made a place for himself there to live in, and he also knew how to sing very well and knew how to play musical instruments. He knew music on a very high level. And he chose trees from which he was able to form musical instruments and actually made these instruments for himself. And from the sinews of the wild animals, he would make strings in order to make string instruments. And he would sing and play music to himself. And he took the letter that he had received from the daughter of the emperor. If you recall, we mentioned a short while back that when the emperor succeeded in having the son of the burgher thrown into prison, at that point, during the time that he was in prison, her mother, the wife of the emperor, spoke to her daughter and told her about everything that had happened and that how her real, true soulmate is the son of the burgher. And this daughter of the emperor went ahead and wrote a letter to the son of the burgher while he was in prison, saying that my mother revealed to me everything about your past, and I know that you are my real destined suitor, and therefore I'm giving you a map of the locations that my mother and your father spent time in, the seven bodies of water, when they went through their great escape. And she had warned him, make sure you hold on to this document. No matter what, don't lose it. Now the son of the burgher would take this letter that she had given him way back, and he would sing and play music, and he would remind himself of everything that he had been through in the past. How his father had been a wealthy businessman, and now, based on all kinds of circumstances, he finds himself stranded here on an island. And at one point, he took this letter, and he made a special mark on one of the trees there, and he actually carved out, he hollowed out the inside of the tree, and took the letter and placed it inside the hollow of this tree, hiding it, thinking that this will be the place where he's going to keep this special document. And he remained in that area for a period of time. One day, a tremendous storm broke out, which broke all the trees in the area there. They all came crashing down, and suddenly, this son of the burgher could no longer identify which was the tree that he had hidden this letter in. Because while the trees were standing, he knew exactly where that tree was situated to be able to find it. Now that all the trees had come crashing down, the tree had gotten mixed up with the others, and there was nothing he could do to recognize it. And to go ahead and start breaking up every single tree was impossible, because there were many there. So he cried and suffered over this loss tremendously, and he came to the realization that if he remains in this place, he'll go mad from the suffering and sadness, because this hurt him so terribly. And he realized that he has to leave the area, no matter what. Because regardless, to remain here is literally dangerous for him because of his great anguish. So he took some meat and fruit with him in his sack, and he left. And he made some kind of a sign for himself to be able to identify this area in the forest, in the wilderness there, that he had just spent time in. And he walked and walked until he came to a civilization. And there he asked, which country is this? So they told him, and he asked, do the people here know of the emperor? This emperor that the son of the burgher knew of? They said to him, yes. He asked, is it known in this country about the daughter of the emperor, who has fantastic beauty? They said, yes. However, everyone knows that it's impossible to marry her. If anyone tries to be a suitor of hers, they don't get anywhere. So at this point, the son of the burgher thought about this, and he came to the conclusion that since it's impossible for him to be able to get to her, he's going to try something else. And he went to the king of that particular country which he was in right now, and he poured out his heart to him. He told him his whole story, and that he's the real mate of this emperor's daughter, and it's because of him that she's refusing to accept any other suitor. And now, because of the fact that it's impossible for him to reach her, he's willing to give over to this king all the signs, all the information that the king would need to be able to go meet the daughter of the emperor and to have her agree to marry him. He'll present himself as if he's the son of the burgher, he's her real suitor. Meaning to tell this king about the seven waters and that this king will go ahead and he'll present himself as her soulmate. And the son of the burgher said to the king, and for my revealing this to you, I'd like you to give me some money. The king was able to tell that this was a true story. Nobody could ever concoct something like this. And the king accepted the plan. However, he realized that if he succeeds in marrying the daughter of the emperor, and he brings her back to his hometown, and this young man will be here, it's very possible that this is going to create problems for him. Now, to kill this man, to kill the son of the burgher, also didn't seem to be the right thing to do, because why should he kill him if he's the one who was nice enough to share this information with him? Therefore, he decided to exile him a distance of 200 parsa, the equivalent of possibly 800 miles. When the son of the burgher heard this, he got very angry, very upset at the fact that because he went ahead and did such a wonderful thing, he helped the king in such a way to give him the secrets that he would need to be able to go and marry the daughter of the emperor, this is how he's being rewarded. He decided to seek out another king, a different king, and tell him the information and give him all the signs about the seven waters. And now to the second king, he gave him an additional piece of information that he had not given to the first one. And he warned him, you better go real quick because you have to try to overtake this king that I told this information to, who went ahead and paid me by exiling me here. And even if you don't get there before him, the fact that you have more information than he does, I hope that's going to be good enough for you to succeed in winning her hand in marriage, winning the hand of the emperor's daughter. The second king thought over the situation and came to the same conclusion as the first king. And he also exiled the son of the burgher, again, 200 parsa, to make sure that he wouldn't be in his way when he gets back. The son of the burgher was very, very upset at this again, and he went to a third king. And now to the third king, he gave him even more information than he had given the first two. Now, the first king went ahead, and he rushed to get to the place where the daughter of the emperor was, and presented himself, and he prepared a beautiful song. And in this song, using great wisdom, he interjected the seven different bodies of water which her mother and the father of her mother and the burgher had hidden out in, which were actually the seven witnesses, as we mentioned previously, that at the time that the mother of this girl and the burgher were hiding out, each time she was in one of these bodies of water, she swore that any good that would be given to her in life, she would share with the burgher, and each time she took that body of water as her witness. In the song that this first king constructed, the order of the seven bodies of water was not the order that had actually transpired when her mother had escaped, because he simply worked it into the song, you know, to get the lyrics to fit with the musical notes. He didn't pay any attention to the actual sequence of the seven bodies of water. So sure enough, he went ahead, he got there, he sang his song, and when the daughter of the emperor heard these seven places, this was awesome to her. And she came to the conclusion that this must obviously be her true mate. However, the fact that he presented them out of order, completely out of order, seemed strange to her a little bit. However, she thought to herself, who knows? Maybe it's just the way the song, in order for the lyrics to match the notes, that he had to do it this way. And therefore, she resolved that this is her true mate, and she wrote him a letter that she is betrothed to him, and there was tremendous joy and a commotion that finally the daughter of the emperor had found her true mate, and everyone started preparing for the wedding. Suddenly, the second king arrives on the scene, and he comes running in, and he says, they say to him, there's nothing to rush for. She's already betrothed. It's finished. He ignored that completely, and he said, doesn't matter. He has something very, very important to tell her, to tell the daughter of the emperor, which will definitely have bearing on the situation. He went ahead, and he presented his song, and this time in his song, he presented the seven bodies of water in the correct order, in the order that she knew them to be, that she had heard from her mother, that when they escaped at that time from the general that held her captive, they hid out in these seven bodies of water, and her mother had given her the exact sequence. This second king in his song presented these seven bodies of water in the right order. And besides that, he gave an additional sign to prove that he was the true suitor. So she asked him, 1 minute, how did the first person, the person who came before you, how did he know these? Now, for this second king to go ahead and tell the truth didn't seem like the right thing for him to do. So he said, I have no idea. I don't know how he knew, but obviously he didn't know. Obviously I'm the right one. This was very extraordinary to her, and she stood there just in wonderment, because the first one had also mentioned these seven bodies of water. And how would anybody know that? However, it seemed pretty clear to her that the second one was her true suitor, because of the fact that she saw he presented these seven bodies of water in the right order. And the first one, who knows, maybe in just creating his song, maybe he happened to think of these seven bodies of water, seven types of bodies of water, and it was part of his song. However, she was stuck. She couldn't really decide conclusively between the two of them. now the son of the burgher, when he had sent the second king, when the second king exiled him, sorry, we had said he was very upset about this. And he went to the third king, and he told him the whole story, and he gave him additional signs, very, very clear proofs by which he could present himself to the daughter of the emperor. And to this third king, he really poured out his whole heart, telling him that he had this document that had a map on it, in which in the map was actually, it actually showed the seven different bodies of water and exactly what their positions were. Therefore, he told this third king, I want you to actually write this down. I want you to write up this map with these seven bodies of water and bring it to her. So the third one came to the same conclusion as the first two, that if he decides to bring her back to his hometown, he's definitely going to have a problem with the son of the burgher being around. So sure enough, he again exiled him 200 parsa further. And the third king hightailed it to where this daughter of the emperor was. He arrived there, and they told him that there's two in front of him. He said, doesn't matter, because I have something that will definitely supersede anything they've presented. And the people there had no idea why the daughter of the emperor gave these two any more credence than all the other kings who had come to court her before this. Now when the third one came and presented his song with all the proofs in it, all the locations and everything, and when he actually presented this document, this map, that outlined all the seven bodies of water, now she was shocked, the daughter of the emperor. And there was nothing she could do, because the first one seemed to be the right one, the second one, and now she finally decided that she's not going to believe anyone unless and until they bring her actual map, the map that she had written with her hands and presented to her suitor years back. Now, at this point, the son of the burgher reviewed his whole situation, and he thought to himself, how often is this going to happen to me, that I'm going to keep being exiled, I'm going to keep trying to help people, and they're going to repay me in this way? Therefore, he decided, I might as well just try myself to get there. Who knows? So he went around until he finally arrived at the place of this emperor's daughter. And he said that he has something to say to her. And he came and he presented his song. And he gave much better signs than all the ones before him. And he reminded her that they had studied together in the same school. They had gone to school together. And other things about their youth that obviously only he could have known. And he told her everything, how he was the one who had spoken to these kings and he had sent them, and each time they betrayed him by exiling him, and that he had hidden her document, the map that she had written, in a tree, and the storm that broke out and all the trees were broken. However, she decided to ignore everything, because the first kings also made all kinds of excuses and explanations as to why they didn't have her actual document in her handwriting. And as far as recognizing him, as far as her being able to recognize the face, there's no way she could do it, because it was years had gone by. So she decided she's not going to look at any signs, any proofs, only whoever brings her map, the one that she wrote with her own hands, that's the one that she'll know is her true suitor. Because the first king also, she thought that he was the right one. And same thing with the second one. Therefore, she refused to accept anything that even the son of the burgher had said. At this point, the son of the burgher thought over the situation, and he realized that there's no purpose for him just remaining in this area. He's going to go back to his desert isle. And there he'll spend his life. So sure enough, he traveled and traveled until he got to that place till he finally arrived back on that deserted island that he was on. And years and years went by. And this, the son of the burgher, concluded in his mind that he's going to stay there. He has no reason to leave this place. He'll spend the rest of his life here. Because thinking about what people go through in life, he concluded that he's just as well off remaining here. He has food to eat, he's got a place, and that's it. Now Rabbi Nachman begins the next section of the story with very dramatic words. And on the seas there was a pirate. The words that are used in the Yiddish and in the Hebrew translation of this story are a roitzeach, a murderer, a killer, but better known to us as a pirate. And this pirate heard about this emperor's daughter who had this magnificent, extraordinary beauty, and he decided to kidnap her. Not that he needed her for himself at all whatsoever, because he was a eunuch. He had no desire, no physical desire for her whatsoever. He simply wanted to kidnap her to be able to sell her to some king and get a tremendous sum for her. So he decided, he set upon a plan as to how he's going to do this. Now this pirate was a person who had no fear. He was, Rabbi Nachman refers to him as a mufkar. He was a person to, his life meant nothing to him anymore. Zero. His life didn't count. For him to risk his life was easy. So he decided to put his life at risk in order to capture her. And if he succeeds, fine. And if not, not. Big deal. He doesn't have that much to lose. In the manner of these pirates, who very often display incredible courage, because they have this attitude, what have I got to lose? So sure enough, he went ahead and he invested money in buying beautiful merchandise, a tremendous amount of very expensive merchandise. And he also created special birds made of gold, which were made in an extraordinary way, very beautifully, to the point where they looked almost exactly like living birds. And he also made these special stalks made of gold, whereby these birds, these golden birds, would stand on these stalks. And this itself looked extraordinary, because these stalks were very thin. And a person would look at it and they couldn't imagine how these stalks can hold these birds without breaking, because the birds were actually large in size. And he also used tremendous ingenuity to make it seem as if these birds were singing, as if these birds could actually chirp. One would chirp and the other one would make different sounds, all the different types of sounds that birds make. And this was all constructed with tremendous ingenuity, where people would stand there behind in the room that these birds were kept behind them, and they were the ones who would make these sounds. And to people who were looking at the birds, the way their beaks would move, it would look exactly as if the birds themselves were making the actual sounds. Now, this pirate, with all of his merchandise and his whole production, set out for the country where this emperor's daughter was. And he arrived there, and he parked his ship in the dock close by to where she was located. He lowered the anchor and set himself up to be there for an extended period of time. And he presented himself like a great businessman. And people would come to his ship to look at the merchants, survey the merchandise, and to buy a tremendous amount of expensive merchandise. And he was there for about 3 months. And people would come and go and take beautiful merchandise that they had purchased from him on his boat. And this daughter of the emperor heard about this. She found out about this. And she decided also that she'd like to buy merchandise from this ship. So she sent a messenger to this pirate, asking that he bring his merchandise and present it before her. He sent back a message to her that he has no reason in the world for him to send merchandise to anyone, no matter who the purchaser, the potential buyer is, even if she's a daughter of the emperor. Whoever wants merchandise comes to him. And again, being that he was a merchant, there was nobody that could force him or obligate him to do differently. These were his rules. This was what he wanted. At one point, the daughter of the emperor decided she's going to go. Now, because of her extraordinary beauty, whenever she would walk outside, she would have a covering over her face so that no one should be able to see her face, because people could actually pass out from looking at her beauty. Therefore, she covered her face, and she took with her some of her maidservants and a soldier for protection who followed her, and she went to this pirate, this merchant. She made a purchase of some merchandise, and she left. And this merchant said to her, if you come again, I'll show you even nicer things than you saw this time, because I have extraordinary merchandise here. She returned home, and then she made a second visit, and she bought again, and again went home. And this pirate remained there for a long period of time, until she became very comfortable with coming and going from his ship and buying whatever she wanted. One day, she came onto the boat, and he opened up the room, which he had never shown her before, where he had these gorgeous birds on the stalks. She looked and she saw that this was something extraordinary. And the others also, the soldier wanted to follow her into the room. And this businessman said, no, I'm not showing this to anyone else, only to you. You're the emperor's daughter. If you want, you can go in and see it. No one else. She entered into the room, and this pirate went into the room with her, and he locked the door. And at this point, he did a very simple thing. He took a gigantic sack, he threw her into the sack, he removed her clothing, and he dressed one of the sailors in her clothes. He covered up the face of his sailor and pushed him out, saying, go. The sailor had no idea what was going on. His boss, had pushed him out of the room and said, go. So he started walking. The soldier who was guarding the entrance to this room didn't know from anything either. He saw someone dressed as the emperor's daughter come out of the room and start walking. He walked behind her loyally. And they continued and continued, until they arrived at the place where the emperor's daughter lived, and came to her room. And at that point, the facial covering was removed from this sailor, and they saw that it wasn't the emperor's daughter, it was a sailor. So there was a tremendous commotion, and this sailor got smacked around real well and thrown out, because again, this wasn't his fault. They were able to see that this wasn't a plan that he had devised or anything. At this point, the pirate took the emperor's daughter, and he knew that they're going to come looking for him and looking for her. And he left the ship, and he hid himself in a ditch which was filled with rainwater, until the commotion would die down. The sailors that were on the ship, he gave them instructions that they should immediately release the anchor and take off, because certainly they're going to come chasing after them. However, they're definitely not going to shoot at this ship, because they're going to be afraid of harming the emperor's daughter, because they'll think that she's on the ship. They'll chase after you, and therefore head for the sea. And if they catch you, they catch you. Nothing, there's nothing they can do for you. And once again, these pirates, for them, adventure, this is what they live on. This is what they enjoy. And they're not really afraid for themselves in any way. So sure enough, this is what happened. The ship, the pirate ship, set out, racing out to sea. They went chasing after them. They finally caught up to them and saw that the emperor's daughter was nowhere to be found. She wasn't on the ship at all. Now this pirate hid himself with the emperor's daughter in a large ditch of rainwater, and they spent time there, and he threatened her. He told her, "Don't scream." And he said to her, "I have endangered my life to capture you. If I lose you, my life doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Because now that I have you, if I go back to losing you, my life doesn't mean anything at all to me. Therefore, the moment you scream, I'll throttle you. I'll choke you to death. No matter what. Because my life doesn't mean anything to me at all." She was very, very afraid to scream because she understood what he was saying. Finally, they left that place and they went to a city, and they were walking and walking until they came to a second place. And there also they were searching for them. And the pirate hid himself in a mikveh, another gathering of water. Finally left there and hid himself in another place until he ended up hiding in all the same seven places that the burgher had hidden with her mother, which were these seven witnesses, the seven bodies of water that we mentioned earlier in the story, until finally they headed out to sea. And the pirate searched for some kind of a small boat, a fisherman's boat, that he could use with which to cross the sea. Sure enough, he found a boat, he took her, and once he didn't need her for himself at all, we mentioned earlier, he was a eunuch. He simply wanted to sell her to some king so that he'd make a fortune. However, he was afraid that somebody would take her away from him. So he went ahead and dressed her in the clothing of a sailor, so that she appeared to be a man, and they crossed the sea. From this point on, we're going to refer to her as a he, because when Rabbi Nachman told the story, at this point, because she was dressed as a man, he referred to her as a he. Now, while the pirate was at sea with this daughter of the emperor, a storm broke out and carried their boat to shore, and the boat ended up breaking up, and they came to this place where this wilderness was, where the son of the burgher was actually living. When they arrived there, this pirate, who knew his way around very, very well, and he realized that this was a wilderness, that there was no civilization here at all, and that ships don't come here at all. So therefore, at this point, he wasn't afraid of anybody, and he wasn't afraid of her being able to meet up with anybody else. So he let her walk freely. And they started walking, he in one direction, she in another direction, to search for food. And eventually, she and the pirate became separated from each other. When the pirate realized that she wasn't anywhere near where he was, he started screaming for her. She thought to herself and decided she's not going to respond. Because she said, if I go back to him, all that's going to end up happening eventually is he's going to sell me. So why should I respond? And if he does catch up with me in the end and asks me why I didn't respond, I'll say I didn't hear him. Especially since I know he's not going to kill me. He doesn't want to kill me. Because he needs me, he wants to sell me. So therefore, when he was screaming, she didn't respond at all. She kept walking, and the pirate kept searching for her all over. He couldn't find her, and he kept walking and walking. And Rabbi Nachman said, probably wild animals ate him up. I believe we'll pause the story at this point. The final chapter of this story, Mitzvah Hashem, the conclusion, will take place, I hope, in the next shir. Obviously, one of the things that cries out from this story is the extraordinary Hashgacha Prati, how everything, things are going on that seem to be completely unrelated, and yet we're going to see in the end that this is all part of Hashem's plan. And this pirate who seems to have done the worst thing in the world to her, in kidnapping her in this way, he's going to be the tool that's used to reunite her with her true mate eventually. And we see the different suitors, each one who presents himself. We know that even in Judaism, there is a concept of a Mashiach, a savior of the Jewish people. And the Torah tells us that the leaders, the leader of the generation, the tzaddik of the generation, has a potential to be the Mashiach of the Jewish people. However, there are certain requirements, there are certain signs. The Torah tells us that when the Jews were in Egypt, and Moshe Rabbeinu told, they were told, Yosef HaTzadik told his brothers, that I know that our descendants are going to have to be here for many years, but eventually they're going to be saved. And there were different signs that the Jewish people were given by which to be able to identify the true leader who would be the one capable and qualified of taking them out of exile, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu. And these signs were something that were a very well-kept secret. So too regarding the Mashiach. He also, the Gemara tells us, is going to have to present signs to the rabbis to identify himself, to prove that he is the real one. And the fact that throughout the generations, there were different people who presented themselves as if they were the Mashiach. There were different people who believed that they were the Mashiach and tried to make it seem as if they were 100% correct and rallied support for themselves, but eventually in the end were shown to be false. They weren't the real ones. They didn't have all the true signs. We're going to see as the story continues to its conclusion that in the end it's only the Mashiach of truth, it's only the true suitor that ends up marrying the emperor's daughter, and things end on a very positive note.